You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. As always, joined by the inimitable Tom Singer, Pirates beat writer. How you doing, Tom?
Doing good, Phil. You didn't mention that I'm a Pittsburgh native. You forgot that.
Well, I like to mention that, but this time of the year, I think of you more with the Golden Globes and the entertainment out in L.A. You're a Renaissance man, a bi-coastal man. How's your off-season going, Tom? Everything going good?
Yes, it is. Finally had some significant downtime the last couple of weeks. December was very busy, you know, winter meetings. Then I went back for Pirate Fest, which is always a very enjoyable occasion, mingling with the fans, catching up with some of the players. And we're only about, a month away from spring training.
Yes, we are starting to look forward to it. It'll get us out of our cold climes here where I am, based in the Midwest, for sure. The Pirates in the news, and as we're taping this, haven't yet announced the deal with the agreement with Jung Ho Kang, the Korean shortstop, still awaiting physicals, but looks like, barring any last-minute hitches, is going to be a pretty significant addition for the Pirates. And did you think they were going to pull this off when they won that bidding, Tom?
Well, you know, the whole issue took me by surprise, as it did a lot of people. The Pirates obviously haven't been very active in the whole bidding process, because usually the numbers are a little bit out of their range. But I think that they pretty much went in making the kind of bid they've made all along for players. And on this occasion, they had the high bid, which took a lot of people by surprise. But at that point, I mean, I knew they were serious about it. They're really high on this guy. And the more, obviously we haven't seen him yet, but the more we hear about him, about his tools, about his confidence, which is remarkable from everything I've been able to pick up on, I'm getting definitely more enthusiastic about seeing where this may lead. Then they have a real fight on their hands. And, of course, in the globalization of baseball, it would be a very significant development, because he would, once again, be the first positional player to make a transition from Korean to Major League Baseball, which could open up a whole new frontier.
Well, one thing I'd recommend to listeners, if you want to be entertained, on YouTube, there's a highlight reel of all 40 of his home runs this year in the Korean baseball organization, and it is fun to watch. And you know, you hear people knock the pitching in the KBO. I think I'm a pretty positive guy, and you know, to me, it reminds me of Cuban. You know, people look at the offensive stats in Cuba and say, well, you know, yeah, the players hit there because the pitching has been diluted. Seems to be the same thing in Korea, and yet a Jose Abreu comes from Cuba to the United States, and right off the bat is an impact guy. I think Kang could hit 25, 30 home runs if he got 600 plate appearances. I don't know. He seems I would buy high on Kang. You think I'm crazy? You want to talk me down off the ledge?
No, not at all. I mean, one caveat: I've seen some highlights of him, not the whole 40 home run deal, but a lot of his power seems to be the left center. I've seen a lot of balls go over the left center field wall of his home stadium. PNC Park is notorious as a death valley for right-handed hitters, and in PNC Park, left center is 40 feet deeper than it is in the ballpark where he played with the Mexican Heroes. So that's a significant difference. But then again, a lot of his shots went way over the wall, so I mean, I don't know how much difference it's going to make. But you know what? Kang seems very smart. He's prepared for the challenge. He knows PNC Park. has that reputation. And one of the things he most looked forward to on his way to Pittsburgh is seeing PNC Park for himself. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how that works out. But I mean, he doesn't lack any power or power of a positive thinking. I mean, he's very confident. You know, Kang left Seoul last night.
Yeah.
And he said some things. He had a big press conference at the airport. It's a big sensation in Korea. But he basically said two things. I'm going to take Jordan Mercer's job, and I'm going to take Aroldis Chapman deep.
Oh, nice.
This guy, I made a reference to him not lacking confidence. I had that in the back of my mind. He said he can outplay Mercer. Or, you know, I'd hit him, whatever. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, it would. The Pirates are going to be a good team if he can make that happen. And everyday shortstop with power, that would be something. Yeah, on that video, the home runs he pulls. I mean, he does hit some monster shots, and I saw him use the whole field on that video. It reminded me a little of Jose Abreu with the White Sox. That, you know, he can drive the ball to right center, and even some home runs just sneak it just inside the right field foul pole. I'm fascinated by the guy. I can't wait to see him in spring training and see how the Pirates will use him. I just hope he'll get some at bats so we'll be able to see. Spring training will be great. He'll be playing every day, and that will be a ton of fun for everybody, I think. Also, spring training, Tom, the Pirates, as you know, have released a list of spring training non-roster guys and some fun players in that group. Stetson Alley, pitcher turned hitter. How much fun is it going to be to see him? And my favorite guy forever in the minor league, Gift Inwipe, I see on that minor league list. Some fun guys on that non-roster list.
Yeah, especially Alley. He was a very highly touted pitching prospect. Obviously drafted as a pitcher. But that didn't go anywhere. Very quickly he switched to third base, corner infielder. And he really has played his way into the Pirates' thinking, at least. The fact that he's being invited to spring training is very significant. When we talk corner infielder, right away we think first base, which is a X factor for the Pirates in 2015. He may figure in there. He's not in the picture for 2015, but they definitely want to take a look at him and see whether the numbers he's been putting up in Double A are legitimate. The one spring training invite I'm really looking forward to is Clayton Richard, the left-hander who had a couple of pretty good seasons for the Padres. He's healthy, he's very confident. He's been drawn to Pittsburgh because they have developed a reputation for rehabilitating pitchers. I think, Richard could be a major revelation this spring.
He was also a very good quarterback, Tom. I'm sure he'll enjoy hanging around there in Steeler country, too. Yeah, I'm with you. I like Clayton Richard. I think he could be a really nice signing. And I saw you caught up recently with Charlie Morton. What are the expectations he's going to have coming into spring training off of not just the hip surgery in September, but that sports hernia that bothered him so much?
Well, they'll go easy with Joe Morton. The odd thing about him is he came back from the identical injury on his other side a couple of years ago, so they know how to bring him along. They're not counting on him to be in the season opening rotation, but they do not have to rush him into that situation because they do have, just looking at the major league veterans, not some of the guys like Richard and Liz, they have Jeff Locke and Vance Worley. So they'll bring Morton along slowly. He's kind of made some changes in his delivery. He just returned to the mound just a couple of days ago for the first time, so it's a long way to go. But they think they might have figured something out that will put less stress on his midsection. The most realistic thing about Morton, I would say, early May, not before, but he could be ready to go by May, and competition is healthy. What that sets up possibly is both Locke and Worley through April having to pitch to remain in rotation. Nothing wrong with that kind of competition.
Hey, Tom, I know some fans were disappointed. Pedro Alvarez skipped a mini camp in Bradenton with the switch from third base to first base, feeling like he could use the time. I know you talked to Clint Hurdle. He pointed out it's voluntary, no big deal. Is there any question in your mind whether Alvarez is on board with the move from third base to first base?
There's considerable question in my mind, and the fact that he did not attend the voluntary workouts, they don't call it minicamp anymore, does raise a red flag. I mean, for whatever reason, even if just to give evidence that, he's on board with it, I think he should have gone, because he had to know that his absence would raise some questions. And if you have a pretty clear view of the situation, you have to recognize the fact that him being there would have been maybe not of much tangible importance, because you'll get plenty of reps in spring training. But just from a perception standpoint, he has to recognize that his presence in minicamp would have been pretty valuable.
Well, it's a story we'll keep an eye on as the trip to Bradenton and spring training approaches. Thanks very much, Tom. For Tom Singer, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. Thanks for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.